That can't be said of Buddha. That can't be said of Muhammad. That can't be said of Joseph Smith. But Jesus lives. Oh, hallelujah. That's the gospel in the nutshell. Jesus lives. And he said, because I live, ye shall live also. Well, glory to God. Well, glory to God. Amen. Yeah, like what's happening. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. And I appreciate a church that responds in worship. And we are living up to our Pentecostal reputation. We've just been up and down all night. Hallelujah. Some people are up and down in their Christian experience, but I'm talking about in your worship. Praising God, responding, amen, to the encouragement that you hear in song and word. Amen. Brother Tim, something's got real muffled up here. I'm not sure what's going on. And you can tweak these monitors for me. Thank you. Well, are you halfway happy you might be saved? No one responds to that anymore. Are you overjoyed to know that you're saved? Amen. Praise God. Could we stand for the reading of the word? Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Scripture says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. And then chapter 4, verse 1, the scripture said, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And then in verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And then in verse 17, we'll begin my actual text this evening. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and he gave it again unto the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day this scripture is fulfilled. As I was preparing yesterday for today in prayer, this verse 18, Jesus reading the prophecy, applying it to himself, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Think of that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And what struck me was, as it was with Christ, so it can be with us. I said, as it was with Christ, so it can be with us. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But we too can have that experience and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. I don't want to preach an exposition of this tonight, but I want to preach on when the Spirit is upon you. When the Spirit is upon you. I believe the Spirit of the Lord upon us has great effect on us and upon others who are around us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, shut up our hearts to the truth. Move by your Spirit as you have begun to do, continue to do. God, may we leave here with the testimony. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh God, may it so be from young on up. Lord, that we would have that experience tonight afresh. In anew, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I don't know how it's been in your home lately. We've been running that fireplace, the insert, and there's been a lot of static electricity in our house. Now, for some reason, I collect the biggest portion of that static electricity. Maybe I'm the biggest object moving around. I told my wife it just seems like I have extra amounts of it, and she can bear witness to that. But I'll just be walking through the house, and I'll feel the hair of my arm standing up. I can just feel it all over me, the static electricity. And I told her, I said, I hate to touch a light switch or the volume on the stereo. I hate touching anything because there's a big pow. And it's, you know, I mean, it would be good if it was in church and I could do that, you know. But it's over there at the house. And if you know me, I'm a jumpy person. And it's not the hurt of it. It's just every time it gets me, every time I jerk, you know. That static electricity upon me. Now, Andrew thinks that's really neat, and he goes around trying to make it to happen. He said, Dad, how do you do that? How do you do that, Dad? But I can tell, I can feel that when it's upon me. But I'll tell you something better than that, far better, is when you can tell that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Amen. You know, I thought this morning, and this is kind of just a transparent thing, but as the Spirit of the Lord began to move, and at that point I was walking to the platform to preach, just like that it came to me years ago when I was working my way through Bible school in the summer, been asked to preach a revival, and was trying to fast and pray and seek the Lord for that revival and work 10 hours a day. But I remember one evening, I got off work, drove, just changed clothes, got cleaned up, drove to that church, went to the prayer room. But I'll never forget that evening. God was gracious. I began to walk to the platform to preach and walk to the pulpit. And as soon as I got there and laid my Bible down, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me so strong I literally had to hold onto the pulpit to keep from falling to the ground. I believe in the experience when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. I'm telling you, that is an experience that we can have tonight. As it was with Christ, so it can be with us. The Spirit of the Lord can come upon us. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He said that as a human. Yes, He was God in the flesh. He wouldn't have even needed, being God, He wouldn't even needed to be baptized in water because He had never sinned. And as God, He would have never needed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you, He was baptized both in water and baptized in the Holy Ghost, not as God, but He was baptized in the Holy Spirit as the man He was and not as the God He was. He was baptized as a man, you and I. The Holy Spirit came upon Him as a man. Amen. Therefore, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon... What a thing for a man to say. What a thing for a human to say. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. On this flesh, on this vessel, on this person, on this individual, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I just want to ask a question. Amen. When's the last time that happened to you? When's the last time you experienced that? And you can say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm glad we can say it. Amen. We've been experiencing some of that. And I believe we can leave here through those doors tonight and say, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. When's the last time you had that experience? And you could say that. You could say that tonight. What a wonderful, amazing thought. God coming upon man. The divine upon the human. The Spirit upon the natural flesh. Not just a wonderful thing to think, but what a wonderful experience that is when the divine comes upon this human. Not just a wonderful experience. Oh, but what wonderful effects that has upon our soul and our life and our heart when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. Amen. What is the Spirit's coming upon us? Coming upon a person, what does that mean for the Spirit to come upon them? It means that that individual comes under the power and the influence and the control of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many likes to be under the control of the Holy Spirit? That's what it means for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon. Not just to be under His control, but to be motivated by Him. I'm telling you, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you're motivated by Him. You get get an impetus from Him. You get an impulse from Him. Hallelujah. All of a sudden you're wanting to do things you've never done. You're wanting to conquer things you've never had a desire to conquer. For the Spirit of the Lord to come upon you. It's to be motivated. Hallelujah. For the Spirit of the Lord to come upon a person. It's to be moved by them. Hallelujah. To be moved. I've seen folks that have never moved in worship for all the years that I've seen them. But all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And they're worshiping. They're praising. Amen. They're expressing themselves. But for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us. Amen. Also means that we are empowered. We are enabled by the Holy Ghost. We preach Wednesday night. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How many love to have that experience? Oh, to say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen. From the very beginning, the Spirit has been coming upon things and upon people. In the very beginning, the Bible said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the Scripture says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon the darkness. The Spirit of the Lord moved upon the chaos of disorder. Hallelujah. And when He moved, suddenly there's light. Suddenly there's creation. Suddenly there is order. Oh, I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord moves on things. Way back in the Old Testament, in the period of the judges, Othniel, the Bible says that Israel was under a great bondage of its enemies. It needed a deliverer. And God raised up Othniel. And God said, or the Bible says that God moved him with the Spirit. Then there's Gideon. He was moved by the Spirit. And there was Samson, moved by the Spirit. And there was Saul. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And the Bible says of David, the Spirit of the Lord came upon. And so you read the record, and there it is. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon people. Hallelujah. But then Jesus said right before He departed, He said, behold, I send you the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's an old English word. We don't think a lot, but most of us know that endued literally means to be clothed with. And Jesus said, My promise is I'm going away, but if you'll tarry, if you'll seek it, you are going to be clothed with the power from on high. I'm telling you, that's the Spirit coming upon you when you're literally clothed with the Spirit of our God. Amen. We as Pentecostals believe that Christ's experience was but an example to us, and that His promise to His disciples was a promise to us, and we too can have the Spirit of the Lord upon us. I've watched it happen through the years. I mean, I've seen the Spirit of the Lord move upon a child. A child that couldn't sit still, amen, for 30 seconds straight. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and he tarries for hours in the altar, weeping and worshiping and crying. I've seen the Spirit of the Lord come upon teenagers. Oh, hallelujah. I remember the days as a teenager when the Spirit of the Lord came upon. I'll never forget the first time I gave a message in tongues, was used like that as a teenager, standing in the aisle, didn't plan on saying anything, didn't intend on saying, but the Spirit of the Lord came. I'm telling you, it'll come upon a child, upon a teenager. It'll come upon the weary one. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon the struggling one. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon the tired mom. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon that one that feels like he's past feeling the presence of God. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon the one that feels burned out and discouraged. And when he comes on them, everything changes. Well, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You say, well, is it on or in? I read some verses to you that says it came upon Christ. And others said that he was filled. Amen. It comes upon to fill. Hallelujah. Amen. The way I look at it, the Spirit comes on us to move in us. and the Spirit moves in us to come upon us. Hallelujah. We have an expression in our language, and we use two of those things. They seem opposite to explain the same thing. We'll say, I don't know what came over me. You heard someone say that? I just don't know what came over me. And meaning the same thing, we'll say, I don't know what got into me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this will come over you, and it'll get into you. Oh, we're living in a time when folks, amen, have to say that a rage came over me, or a fear came over me, or a depression came over me. But we don't have to say that. We can say the Spirit of the Lord came over me. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me. But you see, it's no different than it was in Noah's time after the flood, when seeking to see if the waters had receded, he first sent out a raven, which never came back. But then he sent out a dove that came back, sent it out again, came back. Amen. Why did the raven not come back and the dove did? Because a raven has no scruples of landing on rotten, decaying flesh that was left from the flood. But that dove isn't going to land on the decay, the rot, the filth. The dove is only going to land on a clean place. And so the raven never came back content to land on the rotten and the filth. But that dove comes back until he finds a clean place to land upon. And I'm telling you, that's just a picture of the Holy Spirit. He will come upon folks, but he doesn't come upon the rotten of sin and flesh. He doesn't come upon the decay of self-will and self-aggrandizement and pride. I'm telling you, he's a dove. But when he finds a clean place, he's going to come upon that place. Oh, hallelujah. Are you washed in the blood? Is your heart clean? Your mind clean? Your life clean? If so, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Hallelujah. I've been praying. We've been seeking God for revival. And I believe that's so important, to believe the promise of the Spirit of the Lord. It's more than emotion. Amen. It's more than any of those things. It's the Spirit of the Lord come upon us. How does the Spirit come upon people? He comes upon them in conviction. In conviction. I don't want to see anyone miserable just to see him miserable. But oh, I'm so thankful when the lost or the backslidden come in and sit on a pew. I'm so thankful when I see the Spirit of the Lord move upon them in conviction. Hallelujah. How many knows he's come to convince of sin and of judgment and of righteousness? I've literally seen folks tremble under conviction. Why? The Spirit was moving upon them to bring them to Christ. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon folks in salvation. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He's like a wind. He blows. And Jesus said, when that wind blows upon their hearts, they are born again. They come alive. Don't you like it when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon someone and they get up from an altar of confession, a brand new person, born again, because the Spirit came upon them. When the Spirit comes upon them, he comes upon them in worship. Hallelujah. I preach many times. I love expressive church services. But I don't believe in yelling just to be yelling. Hallelujah. Oh, but I believe that our worship can be inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it will affect your worship. I watched this morning as folks begin to cry and begin to shout and begin to express, nobody looking around to see who else was doing what. But the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to worship. Hallelujah. Right before service, I was looking for another song for my wife, and I ran across the singer. I don't know who he was. One of our black brothers, and I never heard the song before. But over and over he was singing, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the worshiper is in me." Oh, hallelujah. If folks think Pentecostal is just about a bunch of rowdy emotionalism, they don't understand. Amen. That guy had it right in the song. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the worshiper is in me. Oh, that's Pentecostal worship. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon people, and their worship is inspired and motivated and empowered by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Why does he do that? Because he's come for that purpose, to glorify Jesus and uplift Jesus. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon his people, that's what he's going to do. He's going to lift up Christ. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord comes in conviction and salvation. He comes in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He comes over the witness. Set your heart to witness to the lost. Personal evangelism. Even it might be in a break room. It might be pumping gas. It might be over the fence to the neighbor. But if you purpose your heart to share the gospel, you will experience the Spirit of the Lord coming upon you and giving you a power to be a witness. That's what he does. Oh, as we worship, he'll come upon us. As we sing, he'll come on. I believe we ought to just start praying that prayer every service. Oh, whether you're in the pew or on the platform, just start praying it. Oh, Spirit of the Lord, come upon the piano player. Spirit of the Lord, come upon the drum player. Amen. Spirit of the Lord, come upon the guitar players. Spirit of the Lord, come upon the choir. Spirit of the Lord, come upon the choir director. Spirit of the Lord, come upon the preacher. Spirit of the Lord, come upon our worship. Spirit of the Lord, come upon our praying. Spirit of the Lord, come upon us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe he wants to do that from young on up. He wants to come the divine upon this human. Hallelujah. Amen. People all respond differently, but they cannot help but be moved when the Spirit comes upon them. Amen. The same wind moves different things differently. Amen. The same wind will rattle a piece of tin. It'll cause the limbs of a tree to bow low. Amen. It's the same wind, but it moves different things differently. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon folks, some will shout, some will tremble, some will weep, some will rejoice, some will sing, some will pray, some will run, some will sing a psalm, some will confess. But I'm telling you, if the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, there will be a response. There will be an effect. Oh, hallelujah. Do it again, Lord. I believe there's a lot of folks getting so hungry, amen, for the unadulterated move of the Spirit of God. Amen. Put aside the petty thing. Get rid of the selfish feelings. Let go of the trivialness of this world. And just say, I want the Spirit of the Lord upon me more than I desire anything else. Hallelujah. Come upon me. The Spirit came upon Jesus. And I said all that to say this briefly. Number one, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Christ in his baptism, he was driven, led by that Spirit into the wilderness. And 40 days, tempted of the devil. I've given a lot of thought to this yesterday, because we say correctly from the gospel accounts that right after the baptism of Christ, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, drove, compelled Christ into the wilderness where he faced Satan. And we've wondered about that. How could the Spirit do that? I mean, that's wonderful coming of the Spirit upon Christ. And what does he do? He leads him to a confrontation with Satan. If that's what happens when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, I don't know if I want him to come upon us if that's what he's going to do, lead us. But then I realized I was thinking of it wrong. Yes, the Spirit of the Lord led Christ to encounter Satan in the wilderness. But the purpose wasn't to force an encounter with Satan. The coming of the Spirit upon Jesus was to prepare Jesus as the man. Prepare him for that encounter. There's no way Jesus is going to walk this earth and not have to deal with the devil. And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Christ to empower Christ the man and enable him to face Satan. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's no way we're going to get around it. We're going to have to deal with Satan in this world. But I'll tell you how we can deal with him. The same way Jesus did. Have the Spirit come upon us and enable us to overcome him. Oh, hallelujah. If you're like me, you don't want to attempt to do battle with Satan on your own. But it's a different story when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon. Oh, hallelujah. Look, I've been dancing around the theological thing here. I mean, Christ was God in the flesh. Amen. He had enough God to put Satan wherever he wanted to put him, take care of him. But Jesus didn't come to walk this earth as God. He came to walk this earth as a man. And he put that God part aside. And he walked this earth. And as a man, he said, I'm going to have to deal with Satan. But I will not deal with him until I've been filled with that Spirit. I've had this Spirit come upon me. Now here's the wonderful thing. Amen. Jesus went into that wilderness with the Spirit upon him and in him and did battle with Satan. 40 days of fasting and battle with Satan. But the Scripture said he left the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. It did not diminish, amen, the power that he had. Why? Because the Spirit upon him made him as the man more than able to overcome Satan. We're going to have battles, but I tell you, we can go into the battle with the Spirit upon us, and we can come out of the battle with the Spirit upon us. Hallelujah. We can go into the battle with the power of God, and we can leave the battle with the power of God and be victorious. I'm telling you, I said it this morning in the altar call, but we don't need to concede defeat to the enemy. Amen. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, we are more than able. Hallelujah. More than able. More than able. But the second thing that happened when the Spirit came upon Jesus, amen, he went to the wilderness and encountered Satan. But he came out of the wilderness and went to the synagogue. And it wasn't coincidence, it was a design of God that the reading for that Sabbath was from the scroll of Isaiah. Amen. They asked Christ to do the honor of the reading and handed him the scroll with the reading for that Sabbath. Amen. And Jesus read the prophecy from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord, he said, is upon me, not for me, but to help others. Amen. Why did he say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? Amen. To preach the gospel to the poor, because they're poor folks. Why did he say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted, because there's brokenhearted folks? When he say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach deliverance to the captives, because there are people that are in captivity, in bondage, that need deliverance? When he say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, even for the recovering of the sight of the blind, because there's folks that are blinded by the God of this world? And on we could go. But what I want to point out to you, the two things, the two incidents after the Spirit of the Lord came upon Christ speak to us this. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, led him into the wilderness, and gave him the victory. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Christ for himself so that he could win the victory for himself. And I know ultimately for all of us. But number two, that synagogue incident shows us that Christ was aware that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him for the sake of others, so people could be set free and the captive delivered. And I'm telling you, it has not changed. The Spirit of the Lord, he wants to come upon us. Number one, for ourselves, so we can win the victory we need to win. But number two, the Spirit of the Lord wants to come upon us, amen, for others, for the effect that the Spirit on our life will have on others. Oh, hallelujah. I've never seen it fail. You let the Spirit of the Lord come upon someone in a church service, it does them a whole lot of good, but it always affects others. You let the Spirit of the Lord come upon you and anoint your worship. And it's going to touch somebody, maybe clear across the church. And we see this in the life of Christ. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon, number one, it affected him. It gave him victory over Satan. But number two, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him to help others. Oh, I'm telling you, sometimes we need to realize that we move into a service and we don't sense no great spiritual need. But I'm telling you, if we let the Spirit of the Lord move upon us, it's going to be for the sake of somebody else. Oh, hallelujah. Have you seen it happen? I saw it happen this morning. Somebody obeyed the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Ended up with folks praying in the altar. Hallelujah. Oh, this is a mighty thing. It's too wonderful to get our minds wrapped around that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon this flesh. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou... Oh, but he does do it. Hallelujah. How many knows we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the power, the excellency might be of God and not of ourselves? As we move into this new year, we've been praying for revival. And may our prayer be, oh, Spirit of the Lord, come upon us. Every service, oh, coming upon our prayer. Oh, I was so thankful to see the prayer room filled this evening. But to have the Spirit of the Lord come upon us in prayer until we lose track of time and we enter into deep intercession for the lost and those that need Christ. Hallelujah. I'm sure the youth were back in the youth prayer room tonight. Oh, but to have the Spirit of the Lord come upon them. Hallelujah. Until we can pray and pray and pray. Hallelujah. Until victory comes and the backslidden youth are drawn in because the Spirit of the Lord came upon the youth that were in that prayer room. Oh, it's a mighty force, the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, the Holy Spirit is the activity of God. The Holy Spirit is God in action. Hallelujah. Would you come, music, tonight? Just a little devotional thought as we move forward to revival. A prayer, oh Spirit of the Lord, come upon me. Amen. There are other incidences that I could have thought of, but I kept thinking of that dear old sister in Mott, Oklahoma. I guess Mott had been an oil boom town. Amen. There's ghost towns all over Oklahoma that used to have boomed in the oil industry, and now there's hardly anything left. The only thing I remember that was, no, I got the wrong town. It wasn't Maud, it was Macomb. Maud was the same way. That was another place I preach. But Macomb, the only thing I remember about it besides the church is there was an old taxidermy shop across the street. That's about the only business that was open. You know, your town's dying when the only business that's open is a taxidermy. And anyway, and we got down there to have revival, and that church only had about 15 or 20 people left in it. I was a young preacher, came in, we began to preach. I preached that Sunday morning, and I gave a call for anyone that would like prayer. Now, I'd watched this elderly sister when they came in, and there's probably only about maybe six or eight pews back. I mean, I thought they'd never get her through the door and get her to a pew. She couldn't hardly move. I mean, she was filled with arthritis and pain. I mean, it took her forever to get to the room or to the pew. And when I asked for those that like prayer, she got out and began to come to the altar. I had to extend the altar call to wait on her. I mean, they were trying to help her. She's only about four pews back, but it took a long period of time for her to get up there to the altar. She hurt so bad. She said, "Can I sit down?" And she sat down on that altar bench. We anointed her brother Steve and began to pray with her, and all of a sudden there was a shout, and those old crippled arms went straight up, and she jumped up and she took off dancing down that aisle. I saw how she came. She was a dancing. Oh, you see, I don't believe that. Well, I saw it. I was right there. I could tell by the way the people were rejoicing. Amen. That a miracle had happened. What happened? The Spirit of the Lord came upon her. Oh! Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I was remembering of another incident, that same revival I was talking to you about earlier, when I came to the pulpit and had that experience. It was a large church. It was a church that went another direction many years ago. Amen. I don't know how I got in there to preach, but I began to preach one night and was a preacher, and all of a sudden I felt God speak to my heart. There's about three rows of young people back in the back. Amen. Not real dedicated young people either. But all of a sudden I stopped and said, the Spirit of the Lord said, if you'll come to the altar right now, he'll send revival. I mean, like that. The Spirit of the Lord came upon those rows of young people and they jumped up and began to run to the altars. And I mean, like that, they were slain out, speaking in other tongues, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I was praying for them and noticed something happening right down here at the altar, and went, and there was an elderly person way up in their 70s that was a crying and getting saved. And there was a young person on the other side of the altar, and just about simultaneously they both got filled with the Holy Ghost. The older person had just got saved, and the younger teenager on the other side of the altar. You don't work that up. It's not because you sung a certain song. I'm telling you what that was. The Spirit of the Lord. Oh, he's divine. Amen. He's been at it since creation, and he's still at it. He moves upon people. Would you stand and worship him and say, I desire for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon me. Hallelujah. Let's worship him across the building, young and old. Hallelujah. Oh, Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I was going to do this earlier. Man. The Hurley's son is in Afghanistan right now at the very base where several soldiers got killed last week. Here's a mom and dad with heavy heart. But I'll tell you what could encourage them is for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon them. I'd like them to come and stand. I'm going to have the church pray for them. Would you come? I didn't have time to ask you if this would be all right. I'm telling you, something happens when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Others, you've got real needs. You know, I know how it is with this old fleshly nature. We just wallow in our troubles. How many knows what I'm talking about? Just wallow in our troubles. I tell you, that doesn't help a thing. Waller in our problems, in our fears, in our I'll tell you what helps is when we begin to worship and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. I don't know if any of the other of you have needs. This is a moment to come right now, for I have folks come and pray. Any others got special needs tonight? You just like the Spirit of the Lord. I am convinced that what we need is comprehended in the move of the Holy Spirit. I said, what we need is comprehended in the move of the Holy Spirit. Here's other needs tonight. Hallelujah. Church, look around. What we need is the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us.